Blog Talk Radio.
Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday. I am your host, Diamond Taylor, and I really want to welcome you tonight. The segment is all about various financial topics on the top of mind, time solutions from A to Z, real talk, giving you no holds barred advice and lessons on how to end your financial nightmare. Where the audience asks the questions, we search for the solutions. It is all about you tonight on Mosaic Monday. So I would like to welcome you to call in as well as join us on Facebook as well as Twitter. You can call in right now at area code 347-884-9343. Again, it is 347-884-9343. Our chat room is open. We are welcoming you all. If you have any questions or comments or anything that you would like to talk to us about, you can join us in the chat room or call in. We are on Facebook, so you can find us on Facebook as well as Twitter. And for all of you all that are tweeting us this evening, as well as joining us live, I'd like to welcome you, welcome you, welcome you. Happy Monday. And before we do anything else, let us do some housekeeping and play our disclaimer.
It is time to do a little housekeeping and give you our disclaimer for Secure Your Life. The views and opinions expressed on the show may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the host, the sponsors, this station, and that of Pericon Productions. The content and or information that is referenced and referred to on this program are intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We encourage our listeners to seek direct consultation from a qualified, licensed, and certified professional. The purpose of this show is to provide an open forum where one is free to express his or her opinion. In a no-holds-barred discussion about money, personal finances, and business matters. Now, it is time for you to sit back and participate and enjoy the show. And once again, thank you for joining us for Secure Your Life.
All right, now we are ready to get things started this evening. If you just joined us and would like to join in the conversation, this is Mosaic Monday, and this segment is all about financial topics and on-time solutions from A to Z, real talk, giving you honest, no-hold-bar advice and lessons on how you can end your financial nightmare. Where the audience asks the questions, we search for the solutions. It is all about you on Mosaic Monday. All right, so we do have a few people that are holding, and I want to thank you and those of you all who are in our chat room. I will be right with you, and as well as the ones that are tweeting us at the moment. But I would like to tell you that we had some people email us last week for our topic for tonight, for Mosaic Monday, and we're going to talk about all about surviving being downsized. So what do you do if you have been fired? So you've been fired, now what? 15 tips on how to survive being downsized. How far will you go to get your next job? And how bad credit can hurt your career? Now, before we start that, if there's anybody who would like to give us something else that you would like us to add on to our list tonight, I'm giving you an opportunity at the top of the show to have your questions answered. Or if you have a topic that you would like to talk to us about, you can call us right now. I'm going to get you done at the top of the hour, and then we're going to go with what the people who have emailed us last week. So the phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. And feel free also, like I said, to join us on our chat room as well as Twitter and Facebook. So I'm going to take the first phone call, and that would be area code 312-217. And also area code 815-395. Hello, how are you, 312?
Hello, good evening, Diane, and how are you?
I am doing fabulous on this wonderful Monday and looking forward to getting into our emails as well as finding out what some of our listeners that are listening to us live right now, what they would like to talk about this evening, because Mosaic Monday is all about a plethora of different topics dealing with how to get you out of your financial nightmare. And that includes employment if you've been downsized or otherwise. We're going to get into that. But I'm going to open up the phone lines unless you, 312, have something that are you waiting on our topics, or do you have something else that you'd like to share with us tonight?
I'm just waiting on those topics.
Okay, well, then you hold tight, and I'm going to give 815-395 a chance to share whatever they would like to talk to us about tonight. Good evening. How are you?
Oh, good evening, Diamond, and how are you? This is Ron.
I am doing fabulous on this Mosaic Monday. Do you have something that you would like to share with us this evening?
Oh, yes. I have something I definitely would like to share. This is on the subject of say couples getting themselves over their way over their heads in credit card debt, and this is a credit card trap, one might say. It's really it's self-made. No company is doing this. No group is doing this. This is a self-made credit card trap that a lot of couples fall into.
Okay.
Okay. Now what happens is this. You'll have a couple. We'll just give them just one card that they're using. Now, as long as the purchases are being made with the card that benefits everybody in the family, or if the couple has a child or children, if something is purchased with the card for that child or the children, there is no problem. But let's say that the husband uses the card to get himself an antique snap top Elgin watch with a gold chain.
Okay.
For $400. Now, what happens is that that's just for him. The family is not going to be using that. Now, what will happen is that his wife will, she will say, start thinking about this. Well, he got something, so I should get something. Now, this woman has a dresser drawer that is loaded to the gills with her undergarments.
Okay.
Every piece in there is from Walmart and Target. Now, all of a sudden, she's heading for Victoria's Secret. Now, she's looked at Victoria's Secret in the window, but she's never been in there. Now, all of a sudden, she's in there with Victoria's Secret, and she is going to spend at least $400. And if it's over a little bit, it doesn't matter. You know, so they end up back competing with each other.
That
and they're buying things
problem.
In competition. Well, he got something, so I should get something. It's really childish, but couples do that. And it's
right, and that definitely will cause a financial rip.
Right. And it's not. You would think and say, well, this is just the young, immature couples. You have older couples that are doing the same thing.
Well, I understand. You're right. That is definitely a credit card trap, a self-induced credit card trap with purchases that are definitely unwarranted and unneeded at that point. So you
right.
are, that was a you have hit the nail right on the head with. That will definitely cause you to have a financial nightmare, which will also cause a bigger problem for the family financially later. So let me give other people a chance to chime in. You are listening to Secure Your Life. It is Mosaic Monday, and this segment is all about various financial topics, on-time solutions from A to Z, real talk, giving you no holds bar, honest advice and lessons on how to end your financial nightmare, where the audience asks the questions, we search for the solutions, and it is all about you on Mosaic Monday. And if you'd like to join us with a topic that you would like to talk about, or you can email us also. We've taken emails from last week, and we're bringing them to the topic of our show tonight. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to also email us, and you can email the show at sylshow@att.net. That is sylshow@att.net. That is where you can email us, or you can call us right now, and you can join the conversation. The phone number is 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. If you can't call us, you can always join us in the chat room, and I will read your question and or comment over the air. And those of you who are joining us on Twitter, it's Twitter at Secure Your Life. So I'm happy to take your questions, comments, and tweets on Facebook as well as Twitter. So let's get into our topic this evening, where we have an email that asked us to talk about what to do if you've been downsized. All about surviving being downsized. So you've been fired, now what? And giving you 15 tips on how to survive being downsized. And how far are you willing to go to get your next job? And last but not least is how bad credit can hurt your career. So we're going to get this started right now and start our conversation on, so you've been fired, now what? The harsh reality is that a lot of jobs have been downsized due to the economy. So a lot of businesses had to cut back, and as well as they're cutting back, they've cut back their staff. So we're going to give you 15 tips that one of our listeners has shared with us. And the first thing that you should do if you've been downsized, especially from any sizable company, would be to find out about your service package. Because believe it or not, especially if you have a high-ranking position from a job that you're leaving, a lot of companies do have a service package that they have awarded their employees just in case of being downsized or a merger has happened. So you want to do that, and you want to find out exactly what that consists of and all of your employee benefits, you know, including in that is to make sure that any 401Ks are taken care of, your COBRA for your life insurance. So you really need to talk to your employer about those things, but definitely check into your service package. And then the next tip that was given to us is go to your local unemployment office. You have worked a job, and if you have been downsized, you definitely need to check into that because there are benefits for you if you qualify for those benefits. Then number three would be prepare a spending plan. That is very, very important. I'm going to give area code 312 because I can see that you're chomping at the bit on that. 1 second. Are you there?
I am here.
Okay. Now, I know you had mentioned earlier about preparing a spending plan, and I think you were one of the ones who sent that email to me about preparing a spending plan. So how did you prepare your spending plan?
Well, first, let me explain that there is a really big difference between a spending plan and a budget. You actually should never have a budget. You actually should have a spending plan. A budget is almost like a road to failure in a way. A spending plan is one where you are actually you're estimating. Generally, you're looking at everything and you're estimating generally how much those bills are going to truly cost you a month. You're gauging your bills and gauging your amounts on realistic for life things. The budget changes from day to day, moment to moment, and week to week. A spending plan, it's done on a monthly basis. It can even be done on a weekly basis. But a spending plan is a lot better for we call it forecasting. So that's what you really want to do. You want to start getting those realistic figures and kind of round to the nearest hundred to make sure that you have more than enough. And when it comes to unemployment, always realize the one thing with them is that you have had to work so long within a quarter and have so many points in order to get your unemployment benefit. So if you change jobs or within that working quarter or their working quarter have changed jobs probably twice, that can have your points be just 2 or 1 point off, and that might stop you from getting your unemployment benefit. So that's one that I actually did not know until it actually happened to me.
Well, wow, that's a great tip to share with everyone. That is really important, especially like you said, if you change jobs. No one wants to be disqualified for their benefits, especially if you work so hard for them. Now, getting back to your spending plan, one of the things that you did email me about was the fact that although this is the last thing that we all want to talk about, especially if you lose your job, but you definitely need to get on top of exactly how much income that you will have and your bills. So you need to have a track on your income as well as your outgo. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct because, again, you're going to have to cut back on some things that before were considered, well, to you, a necessity. But now you honestly are going to have to truly trim back realize you have mortgage, heat, light, gas. If you have a car, you still have your car loans. If you have your student loans, please put those in there because you are not trying to get behind on those. If you feel you're going to, give the student loan, whoever has it, might be Fannie Mae, or whoever has your loans, and you can actually get a deferment. So don't get in trouble with your student loans because that's the worst from downsizing that we can do. Those student loans will kill you because that is you can't put it on your bankruptcy. Like you told them, you cannot. So, you know, again, get that deferment, and they do have them.
You are so correct in that. So let me go on to the next thing that you shared with us. And you said one of the tips that I thought was great was to avoid using your credit cards. Let that be a last resort. And you mentioned, you said, and contrary to what most people believe, credit cards is not the best solution for funding household expenses during unemployment. And you go further to say is because, remember, you don't have a way at this point to pay off this extra on top of what's already on your credit card. So you need to limit what you are actually accruing on top of your already set debt as far as your credit cards are concerned. So I would definitely agree. I would definitely 100% agree with that. And whilst you're unemployed, unfortunately, a lot of people make the mistake prior to being unemployed by only paying the minimum amount. Now, if you're used to only paying the minimum amount and you had income coming in, it's going to be really a strain on you if you only factored in the minimum because now you don't even have as much income as you once had before. So try while you are employed to pay more than the minimum amount because that way at least if when you're unemployed and you're paying the minimum amount, you're keeping your creditors happy. You're not helping yourself as far as getting your interest rates down, but you are at least satisfying your payments. So you're showing that you're consistently making those payments, which is good. So, you know, especially when you're unemployed, at least try to make the minimum amount payments on your credit card debt. That's important. So I believe if you just joined us, please give us a call. We are talking about how to survive being downsized, what to do in a situation like that. We are also talking about how that affects the family because that is one of the things that does affect the family and what you can do as a result of it. And the last thing that we're going to talk about this evening is how bad credit can hurt your career. If you're going from being downsized to trying to look for a new job. So remember, that will also, because you're going into a new situation, but we'll get into that in just a moment. But if you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday, and we are talking about various financial topics. On Time Solutions from A to Z, real talk, no holds barred, honest advice, and lessons on how to end your financial nightmare. You can call us at area code 347-884-9343, and that is 347-884-9343, or you can join us in the chat room. We will be happy to take your question and or comment. I'll read them over the air. You can also tweet us at Twitter at Secure Your Life. And I'm going to take another phone call, area code 773-988. How are you this evening?
Doing fine. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining me for Mosaic Monday. And I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes.
If you were in a situation where you had been downsized and you were trying to prepare for your transition in income, what would be the first thing or first advice that you would give someone, or if you have experienced this, what was the first thing you did?
Well, I've always believed in having alternatives. First of all, retooling, getting additional skills, I think is one of the first things that anybody can do. I mean, most people, not most people, but a lot of people are very linear in their thinking in terms of having a job and having one skill and marketing that skill. But the more skills you have, the better opportunity you have to get a job. And getting a variety of different skills give you options that you might want to be able to use at a later date. The second thing I think that is very important is to look at being home-based, business-based. And that means marketing your skills to different companies that may need them on the Internet, and everything from being a online technician to input typing. There are just so many different areas, and a lot of the jobs are going to the Internet and going back to the home. So I think, you know, we all have to prepare for downsizing, and I think that one of the main things a person can do is to start looking at starting some kind of home-based service or business to supplement your income, and, of course, saving. Saving is also extremely important. I mean, you can save for a rainy day, but you also have to plan to get back out of the rain. So saving will last for a while, but unless you won the lottery or something, your savings are also going to run out. So, you know, you save for the real bumpy and choppy areas, but you still have to have additional skills.
I definitely agree. And actually, that was our next tip, number five, which is dip into your savings. If you were smart to save for a rainy day, then that is the opportune time. And actually, the only time that you should really dip into your savings. Because,
other than,
I mean,
other than medical emergency.
Right. That's what I would say, other than the medical emergency. Because that's what your savings is for. Unless you plan, you know, your savings for something else. But medical emergency and being downsized is an emergency. So those for emergency purposes, that's the only time where you should actually dip into your savings. Another thing was selling your assets. Someone said that the best thing that you can do before any, you know, of course the things that we talked about previously, but we have a lot of assets, and I think you had said that a long time ago, told me this, about, you know, things that we have that may be of some value. You could sell on eBay or online auctions or something like that. There are things around our house that we probably have in the attic or the basement that someone else may want.
Yeah, well, I mean, believe it or not, there was a statistic that I saw that that actually stated that people only use about 20% of their physical assets. The other 80% usually goes unused or stored in some place. And I think it was suggested that if you haven't seen or used something for more than 6 or 8 months or something like that, it's probably something you don't need. So, yeah, that would be a source of income. I mean, if you have assets that are liquidatable, there's probably somebody out there who definitely probably could use whatever it is that you have. So, yeah, I think you could sell stuff on eBay. I think you could raise capital. But, see, the thing is that whatever you do, even with the assets that you have, they're going to run out eventually. So you have to consider some kind of renewable source of income or get into something that you do something once and you get paid over and over again for it. That's my philosophy about it. You know, I guess what I'm trying to say is corporate America is great, but there are limited opportunities right now, and we have to start being creative and creating opportunities for ourselves if we plan to succeed in the years to come, because things are not going to get. I don't think they're going to get any better anytime soon. I think we're going to continue to see this downsizing process. And I was just looking on the news at how the government is actually borrowing on average. I think it's like $30 or $40 billion per month. No, it's $100 billion per month. And the budget, I think the borrowing cap and the lending cap is $14.7 trillion. And we're close to it. Yeah, the government is actually close to it. So we have to start looking at other sources for income. Also, I think another thing is that, in my opinion, people are going to have to start changing their minds about what's valuable and what's important. and start, you know, scaling back on their wants and start dealing with their needs. You know, do you have adequate shelter? Do you have food set aside in case of an event? I mean, if there's some kind of event that happens, an emergency, would you be able to eat for 3 or 4 weeks? Because there was a run on the stores. I think there was a somewhere near Buffalo, New York, there was the water got polluted or contaminated or something, and there was a run on water on the shelves in the store, and the shelves were, like, wiped out in a matter of, I guess, about 3 or 4 hours. So even stores have what they call a just-in-time inventory, and if, you know, we're eating off the shelves of stores, but we're not thinking about what could happen, you know, in an emergency. So we have to start looking at, you know, what could happen in the event of a worst-case scenario and stop looking at, you know, all the stuff that we think we want.
I definitely agree with that. I think that the majority of us aren't prepared for the unfortunate event, and it can always happen. I mean, even being downsized is an unfortunate event, but a lot of people definitely don't even see it coming.
Well,
so by the time they...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
By the time they do, then there's a huge panic that a lot of people go through.
Well, environmental circumstances can always, an environmental emergency is something we can't control and we certainly cannot anticipate. And things could happen that can turn things around rather quickly. Even if you have a very secure job, something could happen. Like I think with T-Mobile at one time, they had, I think it was winds and high, some kind of inclement weather, and it actually put T-Mobile out of commission for about 3 or 4 days. And I'm just saying, you know, even if you have a cushy job, you know, there are factors that can change the strongest company, the strongest environment. And, I mean, a war could break out in an area where one of these companies has high investment. Anything could happen. So, you know, it's not just the desire to downsize. Sometimes it's inevitably, sometimes corporations are actually lost. Look what's happened to Japan. You know, there are so many people that I'm sure were not prepared for that.
Oh, definitely. How do you prepare for that? Because it is environmental.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that we, as a group of people, Americans we've been sheltered from a lot of things, but I think Katrina was a real, real wake-up call for a lot of people. I mean, you know, here you are, you know, stuck in a place where they're just waiting to see what's going to happen rather than taking action, and it seemed like a big experiment to me. I just don't want to be a part of the next experiment. I would prefer to be prepared.
Well, I agree. Hold on 1 second. If you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday, and it's all about various financial topics from A to Z, on-time solutions, giving you no-holds-bar honest advice and lessons on how to end your financial nightmare, where you ask the questions, we search for the solutions, and it is all about you on Mosaic Monday. If you'd like to join us on the phone, you can call in at area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Or you can join us in the chat room. It is always open. I will answer your questions and or comments and read them over the air. You can always tweet us at Twitter at Secure Your Life. We will be happy to take your comments on Facebook as well. So we're going to get back on our list, and you kind of covered most of it. The other thing was protecting your future, and that was about short-term investments, whether it's from your retirement plan distribution, for example. Consider investing more conservatively if you've been downsized. Try not to pick anything that is risky, because you're not in a position really to move money like that. So you really need to start thinking of things that are a little bit fixed and safe. I wouldn't suggest, especially because you don't know how long your unemployment is going to be, I would not liquidate my retirement I would not liquidate my 401k because that could be, well, not necessarily disastrous, but that should be a last resort, doing any of those things, because you could actually, as the caller has said, you know, create other income streams. Number eight is find a part-time job while you're looking for something more permanent. Or, here again, just like you said, self-employment. People really need to start looking into that. And one of the ways to do that is kind of consider your hobbies. Because believe it or not, some of those skills that you do as a hobby, someone else may pay you for that. If you're, you know, if you're a teacher and you have a little bit of spare time, you're already teaching, which means you'll make a great tutor. And there's always someone that needs help in those skills, you know, something that reading math, especially younger kids, they need help in that. If you're a college professor or some other trade that you're teaching, there's always someone that is looking for a little bit of help that will definitely pay you for your services. So that's an option. I mean, of actually utilizing the skills that you already have and turning those things, whether it be hobbies or even the job that you currently just were relieved of your services, you can actually get paid as a consultant. That's another thing that you can kind of consider. I think that that would be a good idea for one to do. But definitely look into self-employment, because the worst thing you can do is put yourself in a position where you are at the mercy or at bay for someone else. You know, and especially if you, with the way the economy is, it's so volatile now. So again, if you get another job, and I don't discourage anybody from seeking employment with a company or corporate, if you will. But you have to also understand that because it is volatile, that there's always that chance that that company also will go through a shift. And, of course, what is the old adage, last hired, first fired? And I'm not putting that on anybody, but it is a possibility. So you do need to kind of look at some of the skill sets you have and utilize those skills to make yourself money where you kind of control it. A residual situation. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say a lot of the companies that are scaling back and downsizing are now using and utilizing the services of individuals on the Internet because they don't have to carry the overhead, the insurance, that kind of thing. So they are now starting to market there or to get people to actually supply them with services that they would normally do in-house through the Internet. So even if your company is downsizing, they still may need those services. They may get those services from independent people. So it's always good to look at, like I said, offering your skills to various companies, you know, through the Internet.
I agree with you. I mean, outsourcing, like you said, that just because they've downsized your position does not mean that they don't need those services. So you are 100% correct on that. And 9 times out of 10, they will outsource. So why not have, you know, why not allow your skills to be utilized for that? That's
and you know what? Believe it or not, you can actually get paid more by being a consultant than you did when you worked with them.
Sure.
That is true. A lot of companies will hire back their employees or ex-employees as consultants. You know, that is definitely true, because here again, they do not have to pay the same overhead. They don't have to pay the workers' compensation. They don't have to pay the health insurance. So it does make it where it's economical for them to hire you as an outside consultant. And you could be doing the exact same thing that you were doing when you were working directly under them for the company, but now you're actually working for yourself, which gives you a lot of latitude.
And you can charge them more money.
Definitely. Definitely. I think you all have some great suggestions. This is great. So give me 1 second. If you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday, and it's all about the audience tonight. We are talking at the present moment about how to survive being downsized. So we're going through 15 tips on what to do in that case. But if you'd like to add your two cents to the conversation, please do so by calling us at area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Or you can join us in the chat room, or you can tweet us on at Twitter at Secure Your Life. And we're also on Facebook, so you have several ways you can contact us. And if you want to email us, you can do that also, and that is SYL, the word show, SHOW, at ATT.net. So that's SYL, show, at ATT.net if you'd like to email us. So let us finish this. Now, listen. If you happen to have, if you happen to be married and your spouse is still working and you have young children, one of the things that I suggest, even if you feel that this is going to be short term for your unemployment, I suggest that you kind of take your children temporarily out of daycare, because that is a cost that you really cannot afford to incur at the moment. Use that same daycare money, keep your children at home. You can even find out who else is working, and maybe they can pay you to keep their children too. So that's another way for you to get a little money by being a babysitter. And you can take that money and put that towards your bills until you find, you know, until you actually find other employment. So that is another suggestion that someone wrote in. Number 12 is early retirement. If you find yourself in a position, and a lot of employers are doing this, and I think that it's completely wrong to do this, where they will force their workforce into early retirement. You've been working there, and you're really, really close to retirement, but now your company has decided to give you an early retirement, but you're not really eligible for Social Security yet, which means you're not 62 and a half. Or 65 years old, so you can't draw your Social Security, and you would like to find another job that you're interested in because you're still able to work, I suggest that you contact the Social Security Administration before you get your new job. And the reason why that is because, unfortunately, your new job might actually interfere with your Social Security benefits. Because you might end up making too much, where you'll end up having to pay them back. And I know that sounds like completely crazy, but there is a cap to what you can earn as a limit before you have to pay the Social Security Administration back the money that's allowed. So you need to really call them and find out, you know, what's your status, and then you can decide exactly how much money you can make on your second job, or I should say your new job, since you've been forced into early retirement and you haven't quite made age 62 and a half or 65. So you really need to give them a call. And number 13 would be prepare your resume. It is a, now that you've been downsized, this is a great time, opportunity to really look at that resume, dust it off, and actually look at the skill sets that you have gained and acquired as a result of you getting the job that you've just been downsized. Most of us, if we've been working at a particular job for a number of years, we have not added the skills that we have acquired from the job that we've just left, because our resume ends where our job began. So whatever your last job prior to you being downsized, that job that you just left is not included on your resume. So you really need to look at the skills that you have acquired from that job as well as the jobs previous, and kind of look at it honestly and see where you can kind of make some changes, add those new skills that you have acquired from the job that you just left. And then you might find out that you also may need to tweak your skills a little bit and actually gain some more skills. And I believe our other caller did touch on that. You did talk about actually gaining some more education so that you can compete.
Exactly.
yes, you know, take a couple of classes, because believe it or not, unfortunately, we kind of get stagnant because in your job, they train you to do what they want you to do, and it becomes repetitive, but you're not actually being competitive. So you're being repetitive, but you're not being competitive where the market is going. So just because you've been doing something for a number of years, those skills may not be up to snuff to compete in the job market today.
Well,
that's just a suggestion.
Well, you can also look at it this way. You may even see this as an opportunity. I mean, I know a lot of people who have jobs, they just hate them. They may make good money or whatever, but they just hate the job. So if you get downsized from a job that you hate, now here's an opportunity to do that thing that you've always wanted to do but never really had the time to do. You know, this, like I said, downsizing may be a great opportunity for you to completely change your career. You could, if you like photography, now would be a good time to go and get some photography courses and then go out and start a photography company. If you're working in some field like administration or whatever, and you decided you wanted to get into some other field like child care, now is the time. So, you know, I think that there's always two sides to everything. I mean, nobody wants to be downsized or phased out, but you can, like I say, you can take that and turn lemons into lemonade and really maybe even improve the quality of your life, you know, through something like that.
I definitely agree. I think that is something that we kind of look at stuff in a negative way when we can actually look at it. If you look at it differently, then you can actually, like you just said, take those opportunities and change it into a positive situation, because we get stagnant. We kind of get lazy in a way because we think that we have a sure thing when we have this cushy job, especially if you have a city job or a municipal job or even a federal job. I mean, in America, the federal government almost shut down, and this is actually not the first time that that situation had had happened. At one time, the federal government did shut down, so, and people were sent home for X number of days or even weeks. So you really need, even though you have that, as they say, that good government job, you really maybe need to look at what could happen, because you may have it today and it may not be there. So this may be an opportunity, like you had said, to really take some time to, what is it that I really want to do? Because I know so many people have a job, they're happy to have a job, but they hate the job that they go to every day.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Definitely an opportunity. Not a curse, an opportunity.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, okay, Harry Cole 312. We'll let you chime in. I see that you're chiming in the bit right there.
Oh, it's just that there are so many wonderful programs for someone that's unemployed that the federal government does offer, and that you're actually able to tap into that you normally couldn't even touch because you weren't eligible. So that's another place. Look at the federal government for getting grants and everything for you to return to school and not have to pay for it.
Exactly. And another thing that a lot of people don't realize is corporate America only makes a small percentage of the jobs up for the employed people in this country. Most of the jobs are started are small business. Small business is the majority of the jobs. So if you can't be in corporate America, start your own business, you know, and add to the solution and do something you like at the same time.
That is true. Now, if you just joined us, we are talking about how to survive being downsized. This is Secure Your Life Mosaic Monday, and I'm going to add on another caller. But if you'd like to call, the phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343, or you can join us in the chat room. I'll be happy to read your question in or comment over the air. You can also tweet us at Twitter at Secure Your Life, and I will also accept your tweet, as well as being on Facebook. You can also message me, and I will read your comment and or question over the air. We're going to keep this going. I believe we have someone else that is trying to call. If you're trying to call in, you can do so right now, And we are looking for some really great things. I have touched on it a little bit. And we were talking about what to do if you're being downsized and you have a 401k. Someone else just tweeted me, what do I do about my 401k? I have been downsized. Should I liquidate that or any of my investments? Area code 803, you are joining us right now. How are you this evening?
Good. This is Thomas calling from Charlotte.
Hey, Thomas. How are you? Did you hear the last question?
No, I kind of caught the tail end of it. What was the complete question?
Okay, the question was, I've been downsized. What should I, liquidate my investments or my 401k?
Nah, absolutely not. I mean, unless it's like dire emergency, because just because the implications tax-wise, you'll get buried. You roll it over into an IRA. And then, if you want to, and then if you want to do something that may be a little bit less damaging to you, maybe if you want to roll it over into from a regular IRA to a Roth IRA, you can do the conversion process for that. That may be less detrimental as far as, cash outlay, but you actually hurt yourself. Liquidating. I've seen people do that, and in a lot of cases, it's just not necessary. Hopefully, if you get downsized, there's a severance, and then after severance, there is a unemployment insurance that takes place. I mean, but the challenge is, how long are you going to be out of work? Is the question. That's the part most people don't know. So
right.
what it really boils down to is then you have to trim back on your expenses while you're in that that mode. Some states, of course, their unemployment benefits are better than others. But surprisingly, here in North Carolina, we get more per week than someone in New York does. Which is kind of crazy, but. So I say that would be the very first thing, is find ways to trim your expenses first in the confines of your confines in which you're getting between your severance and then also your unemployment. And then, hopefully you don't have a whole lot of credit card debt and stuff like that, but, talking to your creditors, when they notice you're laid off, they'll work with you. They'll find ways to, keep your payments low enough so that way you can stay in compliance with whatever your bills. And also, something to consider, if you're getting a severance, if you go and take some courses in a lot of cases, they don't have to be expensive. You go to a community college and take up some courses, and if you're getting, job-related training or something like that, they actually can get your the combination of your severance and your unemployment. You could be getting both at the same time. A lot of people don't know that. So if you get laid off and you go take a course, that's approved through your unemployment office, you can get your unemployment and you can get your severance, jointly.
Oh, well, see, that's a great tip, because someone else had just asked that question. How am I able to get my severance as well as my unemployment? And you just answered that before I even had a chance to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
If you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday, and we're talking about how to survive being downsized. And if you'd like to call in, the phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. We only have a few more minutes live, but we can keep the conversation going. And if you're in the chat room, I will read your comment and or question. You can also tweet me as well as send me a message on Facebook. If you're on the line now and you would like to speak, please push the number 1 so that I can see you in the queue, that you're ready to address our topic for the evening. So one of the other questions that someone else, they just tweeted me, and they said, I have some bonds that I have not cashed in. Is this a good time for me to utilize those assets, as well as I have some other stock that is, I think she's saying that her stock that she has, should she move those assets and cash those in?
Well, once again, there's some ramifications, you know, tax-wise, you know, check with a tax professional, that's number one, just because, you know, depending upon how long you've held the stocks, whether they made a gain or whether they're taking a capital loss, if there's any carryovers, it all makes a difference. In the case of you making a capital gain, of course, you're being taxed far less than if it was ordinary income. So, you know, that much is an advantage of holding your asset long term. What I tell people is sometimes, too, is like if you got bonds, let's say, for instance, a person got $20,000 in savings bonds that are paying, like, 2%, and the bonds that have been issued in the past couple of years are barely probably even paying that. But they're U.S. savings bonds, like people do it just because it's, you know, because of our status in the world as being a reserve currency. But the bottom line is that if you're paying, you know, 12% interest rate on credit cards, and you got $20,000 in bonds, and you're killing yourself. You might as well just go ahead and cash your bonds and then pay off $20,000 in credit card debt. This is the thing, it's working against you. Remember I talked about the Rule 72. They're gonna double their money on you within about 3.5 years anyway. You know, so you know, you need to go ahead and get rid of that, and then, you know, replenish yourself, you know, at a later date.
Okay, well, if you just joined us, you're listening to Mosaic Monday. This is Secure Your Life, and we're going to take a few more phone calls before we have to end our show. And the phone number is 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. I'm going to take area code 312-788. You are on the air with me. Thank you for joining me. Hello. Okay, did we lose our caller? Hello? Okay, well, I think we did lose our caller. We're going to keep things rolling, though. And last but not least on our list, we actually have two. The last resort that you should seek is, at all costs, you know, friends and family. A lot of people, you know, they're your own friends and family should be the last resort, only because they're probably going through the same thing you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So I would use that as the last resort. I would actually, if it were me and I have exceeded all of the previous tips, would be to seek public assistance before I would even ask friends and family. And a lot of people, I mean, someone else just tweeted me and they said, well, why would you do that? The thing is this, when you owe friends and family, it does put that relationship in a strain, especially if they're barely making it.
Yeah, friends and family, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, they're friends and family, but, you know, you're at the end of the day, you're on responsibility. I mean, you can't, you know, a lot of people have this, we have this, you know, this thought that, you know, well, I would help this person and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, I mean, people have children they're trying to raise, and it's just not feasible. I mean, if you're in a long-term bad situation, borrowing from someone is not going to better that situation. It's going to make it worse, because now you can't pay them back, and you've bruised a friendship, plus you can't pay back your creditors. So you're better off just sticking it out, sucking it up, and starting from scratch if you have to.
Some people become a liability. I mean, when you're around, you either an asset or a liability, and you really don't want to be a liability. I agree with you, Thomas. That's true.
That is so true. Well, guess what, guys? We had a wonderful show. We're out of time. We're going to have to continue this on another show, but I'd like to thank all of you all for joining me tonight. Tune in for tomorrow night when we're going to have Tough Talk Tuesday. We'll get a chance to rant and rave about what you like, what you dislike, and what you would like to change about your financial situation. But thank you all for joining me, and I will talk to you all again tomorrow. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.